Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. Welcome to the podcast. If it's your first time listening, all in divine timing, I am so glad you are here. And if you are here every week, twice a week, hello, boo, I adore you. And I love your feedback because it tells me exactly what is resonating with you guys, what you want more of. So thank you all so much for sharing, especially the last couple solo casts that I've done on calling in for support of the universe and all of the things that I've been personally experiencing. How even stuff that sucks is sacred. And it makes me feel so at home with you guys to know that you are going through the exact same things that I am. And it just reaffirms to me how interconnected we all are and how we can find our story and everyone else's story. And that is why more of us need to share our stories, because it gives other people permission to share theirs. And that is how the world revolves. So I'm going to share with you what I've been working on recently, and that is energy balance. That is how to move from Vata and Pitta to Kapha on a daily basis. So I've shared with you guys before, I did an episode about scheduling your days with the doshas. If you haven't heard it, just Google Highest Self Podcast, scheduling your days with the doshas. It'll show up. But it is so important for us to be working with the doshas, the Ayurvedic archetypes, the energy types for our days. So these archetypes, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, are Vata, air, creative, flowing, big idea, big picture thinking, long-term thinking. Pitta, execution, action-oriented, get shit done, handle things like a boss energy. And then Kapha, rest, reevaluation, recharge, replenishment, all the re's. So we all have all of these energies in us, and to do our dharma, dharma meaning your soul's purpose, the reason why you are here incarnated on this planet, the essence, the big why, your dharma. To do your dharma, you have to work with the doshas, the energy types. So I've been faced by this in a major way, which obviously is divine intervention for me to further understand this, because I am in the middle of two projects right now. One project being Rose Gold Goddesses, my membership community that I've been talking to you about, which is a soul mission project. It's like when I'm doing it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is why I'm here. There is an interactive community with our own app with geolocation services, so you can connect with other goddesses that live in your area. We have forums on all things Ayurveda, spirituality, past lives, crystal healing, shamanism, everything. We're doing monthly goddess circles that I'm facilitating each month, working with a new goddess archetype, Saraswati, Lakshmi, Durga, Kali, and then also Egyptian, Isis, Oshun, Yamaya from the Oriba tradition, Athena, Aphrodite from the Greek. You know, we're going everywhere with these goddesses, and it's been incredible, and it's also been a lot of work. And I don't like to use work in the same way that we're used to hearing the word work. I like to say it like how Missy Elliott would say it, like work, like do that work, like get to work, you know? Like I'm like kind of like doing a little gun sign with my hand and like flicking it like work. So just like imagine that when I say work. It's like a hashtag W-E-R-K. Like that's the kind of work I'm talking about. So it's been a lot of work. And I'm calling it work because it's efforting. There's efforting involved. I am doing things. I am answering emails. I am organizing, funneling, analyzing, making sales pages, web server crashing, fixing that. I'm doing things, real life, tangible things. But also it's in alignment with my dharma. So I'm being fueled for it. So I have that massive soul endeavor going on, which we're launching September 1st with our 5-day Rose Gold Goddess Challenge, and then opening doors for 1 week after that. I am just opening doors for 1 week because I can't stay and launch any longer than that, but also because I'm trying to create a container of women who really are going to support each other and be there for each other and are looking for this long term. So it's not like a come in, you know, sell someone to join your retreat and leave thing. It's like, this is a community and we're here to support each other. So I've been really downloading information, how to support this community, things to put in the community, expert calls, recording. You know, if you like this podcast, I've recorded off-the-cuff conversations that's literally me in my chair that I work from being like, okay, this is what I'm working with right now. This is what I've been learning. And like, that, it's that level of oomph. And it's also all in. It's a lot of energy. And by the way, if you want to join that, if you're listening to this in September or before, head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com, sign up for the challenge. I'll email you everything about the challenge and then joining. If you're listening to this later, I'll probably relaunch it sometime in 2020. I don't know when, but go to rosegoldgoddesses.com if you're in the future, and I'm sure it will have a wait list or something there. So that has put me massively into my pitta, into my action, into my Durga. She is the warrior goddess who is, you know, slaying demons on her tiger. And it's like every day I'm like, okay, I got to do copy. I got to do email sequences. I got to do all these things. And it's fun. And it's also can be overwhelming, but I keep rolling with it. Then the other side of this energy of this deck of cards that is also very much in my hands is writing my next book, Discover Your Dharma. I think that's going to be the title. So this is all about how to find your purpose, which is like super my soul's work as well. It's my own mission and journey that I've had to go through coming from immigrant parents who really did not want me to go this path and essentially having to break myself free from all constraints that I've been through. Then creating my Doshas and Dharma program and creating this podcast and so many conversations I've had around Dharma. So finally, this book is happening. And also, I have to finish it by December. I'm in between two very different Dharmas, two different soul mission projects that require different energies inside of me. The book requires me to be in this channeled state. It requires me to be, you know, receiving, being a conduit of the higher source knowledge. When we're in our vata, we are, you know, removed from society. It's like you're on a higher floor and like the world is going on below you and you're up here and you're like looking at it from afar. So when you're writing a book, you can't be like, oh no, I have to do this email. It's going to get you out of it. But at the same time, I have this launch where I have to be really fucking in it and be like, not only is someone at the door, but like, are they on time? And is everything going great? And like, managing very much in the human 3D plane. So how can you be in this 5D vata and the 3D pitta while also not burning yourself out and having time for the kapha? So I just got legally married yesterday. So our wedding, we just did ceremonially. We didn't realize how long the wait was to get married legally in the state of California. It's like a 2-month wait list. So we got married legally yesterday and I was like, After you get married, you're not going to go back to work. So we're like, let's go to lunch and like walk on the beach. And it's like a Wednesday in the middle of the work week when I'm in the middle of this launch and writing this book. And my husband is in the middle of, you know, managing his entire, like he manages producers, songwriters, all these things, all these shows they have going on. So we're both like, well, no, it's our wedding. We have to just, you know, chill. But it is hard when you're all in because energetically it's like, you know, when two people are in a fight, like a fist fight, and you pull them apart and they're like, no, let me at it. And it's almost like, no, calm down. And energetically, they're just so in the pitta. They're so all in that like even me at lunch, I'm like, oh, I need to go on my email. Like I need to do the things. And I'm like noticing of that of myself, but I'm not judging it either. And this is really what I want to talk about energy management with you, because I feel like in the spiritual community, we haven't accessed this yet. Like we're so in this like stage that it's like about being super stressed, going from super stressed, super overworking, anxious, not in alignment with your Dharma to, okay, how can I escape? How can I just go and meditate and be silent and be removed from society and like drop all the things? And I do believe that that is a very important stage of it, but it's not the embodiment. So one of the things I'm writing about in my book is that spiritual growth has different stages, right? So there's the stage that you realize like, okay, I'm just not happy. Something needs to change. I'm miserable every single day. I don't know what exists out there, but I'm going to look up a self-help book or go to a yoga class or something to just get me out of how I feel. So that is the stage one. That's like when the crack of the egg happens. And then the next stage is you start going towards self-improvement. You're like, you know what? I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to start drinking more water. I'm going to read a book. Like, I'm going to just like make myself better, right? So that's the level that most personal development work is at. It's at that self-improvement stage. And it's on the personality level. It sees you as a personality, not the soul. So then the next stage after that, I call self-discovery. And that's when you're like, okay, I feel like I'm more than this personality, but who am I? And that's when you start taking like the quizzes, like what's my dosha? What's my Myers-Briggs? What's my human design? What's my Enneagram? What's my Michael Teachings archetype? What's my gene key? Like you just want to know about yourself. Some of you may be in that. Some of you may be in self-improvement. Some of you may be in the crack. Like there's no hierarchy here. They're just different stages. So after that self-discovery, and I'm writing about this a lot in my book, if you're like, I need more on this, like, don't worry, is the self-actualization of you're like, why am I here? What is my soul's purpose? You know, who am I? What are these gifts? And I think that that's where like the mass of the spiritual community and the things that we talk about, you know, whatever podcasts, this, that are there. It's who am I? What am I? How can I tap into my gifts? But that's not the final stage. The final stage is embodiment. It is taking yourself out of the equation and realizing that you're not doing this for you. You're doing this to be of service. It's the moving of the me to the we. And this is the point that I see most people are not yet at. And a lot of people who are may not be quote unquote spiritual, but they're already dedicating themselves to service. And like the more I did write this book about discovering your dharma, having the energy to do your dharma, having the strength to do your dharma, I realized that it is truly about tapping into this greater source. And this greater source is to be of service. Because the only way you can manage your energy and move between the vata coming up with the idea, the pitta executing it, and the kapha reevaluating it, that in itself can be a lot to handle. Most people, it takes them months of being in one to move into the next mode. But to be able to, on a daily basis, shift gears like that, like, okay, we're writing my book. I'm going to channel this shit. I have 2 hours to write this. To, okay, I need to pick up my kid up from school, or I need to go to the bank, or whatever it is you need to do, to, okay, now I'm going to unplug and recharge. Like, that is really fucking hard. And never before in society have we had to do that. It's been like, you have months that you're working on the field, and then you have months that you're not because it's snowing and it's like integrative. And right now in our society, in our day and age, we simply can't. You can try to create your schedule too, and I do believe in seasons and the benefit of that, but to be real with you, it's very, very hard to schedule your entire life around, well, this is my off season, so the next 6 months, like, don't talk to me, I'm not gonna have any responsibilities, like, I'm not gonna show up for work or anything. For most of us, that's not in the cards, and for a lot of us, even if it could, we don't want to, because we want to be doing our dharma. So how can we shift gears between coming up with the idea, acting on the idea, and not burning ourselves out? We reconnect to the higher source. And that higher source feeds us when we give it all to being of service. Because when you are anchored into your why, and your why is to help others, your why is to share your gifts in the way that you only can, then you stop making excuses. You stop wasting time. You stop checking Instagram every moment shit gets a little bit hard. You're like, wow, the world can only come into balance if I rise up. This is not just about me. Because the thing is, if you make it just about you, oh, I'm just doing my dharma so I can be happy, so I don't have to work all the time. So many people right now are saying, oh, I want to find my dharma so I don't have to work. That is not finding your dharma. If your dharma is to be on lifelong vacation, then you haven't found it. Because when you're actually in your dharma and you're doing the things, even though it's colossal, you want to be all fucking in. Because there's nothing else you would rather be doing. You are being of service. You know, if you could help someone, why would you be like, oh, sorry, I can't help you, when you know you have exactly what that person needs? Isn't there no better feeling of having a conversation with someone and seeing the shift that it made in them? There is no better feeling than being of service. And if we let that fuel us through everything that we do, things become way easier. So when you're like, oh my God, I have a book to write and a business to run, you're like, great, I'm tapping into higher source right now. I'm giving service in two incredible ways, using two different sides of who I am. And I'm here for it. I was born for it. The only reason I was born was for it. Then you're not going to run away from it. You're not going to make excuses on why you're too busy or why it's so hard and being a victim. So many of us, we're like on the brink of our dharma and then we become victims. Oh, it's so hard. I don't know how I'm going to do all these things. I'm so overwhelmed. Do you realize how lucky you are? You're here. The moment you've been waiting for is here, honey. You know, we go through such incredible endeavors to get to where we are. And then we get to where we are and we're like, oh, it's hard. You didn't quit your job to complain. It's so important that we give it back to now I can finally be of service. And universe is requiring a lot of me because there's a lot that I can give. Because the universe never puts anything on your plate that you cannot handle. You can handle it. It is amazing the things that you can handle that you're not even aware of. And I'm not just talking about the pain and the suffering, though we can handle a lot of that too. But I'm talking about the creation and expansion that exists inside of you that you haven't tapped into yet. Why? Because we're afraid of our own enormity. We're afraid that if I really show up in the way that I can, my energetic body can't even handle it. So one thing that I'm writing about in the book, which was something I noticed in myself while writing, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but have you ever been like writing, or maybe you're drawing or making music or whatever it is that you do to create? Maybe you're coming up with, you know, doctorate ideas. I don't know. You're coming up, you're doing your flow, you're doing the thing that you do best. And you're on the brink of something and it almost feels so overwhelming that you're like, I need a snack. Cookies, keto chocolates, another golden milk coffee, anything. And you run away from that moment when you are on the brink of the next level you. I notice this in myself. I'm like so in the flow of writing that I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like my mind just can't even handle it at that moment because it's so enormous that my small brain, my lower brain just minimizes me and tries to keep me small because it's not used to this level of expansion. So it says you need a snack, you need to go outside, you're tired, you're this, you're that. It gives all of these excuses because it doesn't even know what it's going to be like once it grows, once it matches the level that it is able to perform at this time. So if you're ever writing something, doing something, and it's getting hard and you can feel yourself wanting to escape, know that that is the moment that you're about to grow, that you're about to tap into the next level of who you are. And this is how we expand our energy body. You know, you look at people who are so in service. I think I spoke about Marianne Williamson in the last podcast, but she's a spiritual teacher, author, really like dedicated her life to spirituality, meditation. Like, you know, if someone knows about a self-care Sunday and the importance of taking care of yourself, it is her. But she's running for president right now. She is waking up at 4 a.m, spending all day at meetings until late at night, going to places that have not seen the light of day. She's going to, you know, middle America where there's no talk about this stuff and telling them the importance of meditation and spirituality and nutrition in schools and peace initiatives and all of these things. And you might look at her schedule and be like, oh my God, why would someone want that? Her schedule is so full. She doesn't even have a moment for herself. Like, trust me, I know she's supposed to be on the podcast. And right now I'm just on standby because her schedule is so full that we're just seeing when she has 15 minutes off even. That's how full her plate is. And this is someone who doesn't need to be doing that. She could easily just, you know, live her life in meditation. She's built a career for it. Like, not only has she grown extremely enormously as a spiritual author, but she's walking that walk too. And still she's committing to something greater. And that something greater is her vision of uplifting humanity as the president of the U.S. So this is an example of we escape when things get hard, that we don't actualize our true dharma. We don't run for the presidency that we truly know that we are capable of because we feel like it's going to take too much time, too much efforting, too much energy. Like, that is work, honey. That is your work. You know, the biggest thing that people die with are regrets. And no one ever says, oh, I really regretted following my purpose. You know, I spent so much time on my purpose. I should have not done that. I should have just hung out more. People definitely regret overworking, but they were overworking towards an outside goal that was not their own. They were doing the work with the W-O-R-K, work, just the 9 to 5, I'm doing my work. They had no affinity for, no purpose for, like they were just doing it for the paycheck. That's going to soul suck the shit out of you. But if you're doing your soul's work, the hashtag W-E-R-K, like you are in there like doing your motherfucking dharma. When you're doing that, there are no regrets. You think Marianne Williamson's going to be like, you know, I really regret not having enough self-care Sundays that year that I ran for president. Whether she makes it as president or not, she will never regret this journey because she rose up and stood in a way that no one ever has, let alone she never has, because she's in alignment with her dharma. So I've been thinking about her a lot when I am feeling, oh my God, this is a lot. It's a lot happening. I'm like, oh yes, boo. I'm launching, I'm writing, I'm getting married, I'm moving, I'm doing all the things, plus I'm going to the DMV, I'm going to Burning Man. Like, there's a lot of plates I'm spinning and I'm fucking grateful for it because it is in alignment with my purpose. So it's so important for us to, one, take a step back. Are my actions in alignment with my purpose? And right now, that purpose may be figuring out what I don't want. That purpose could be in the ending section. But ending and figuring out what you don't want is still moving forward. But if you know, I'm just doing this to make my parents happy. Once they die, I'll stop. But right now they're alive, so I got to make them happy. Or, well, I just don't know another way, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And you're not actively looking for that other way. Then that's going to feel way more exhausting than putting in the work towards self-actualization. I'm going to be way more exhausted spending 1 hour trying to figure out how to set up the electrical unit of my apartment because I don't know shit about it and it's not my dharma and it's nothing that I don't even want to do anything with it. I'm going to feel way more exhausted from that 1 hour than spending 16 hours creating rose gold goddesses and writing my book. One could say, oh, well, you just have to work 1 hour a day. I would just take that. But when it's not in alignment, it's soul sucking. When it is in alignment, it's energizing. It's like going to the gym, right? When you exercise, you actually create more energy. It's counterintuitive, right? I remember when I was younger, I would be like, oh, I can't go to the gym. I'm tired. I'm like, no, if I don't go to the gym, I'm going to be tired. If you don't do your dharma, you're going to be exhausted. If you do your dharma, you might be exhilarated that may border feelings that some may call exhaustion, but as long as you're really doing your dharma and giving it up to being of service, which also gives you that permission that you need to refuel yourself and recharge yourself through the kapha, because you can't move forward if you don't. So when you're truly an embodiment of your dharma, you're energized, you're lit, you're excited, you're inspired. It's effort without the work. You're doing things, but you're not doing it because someone's standing over your shoulders. You're not doing it because you need to look busy when your boss walks by. There's no one checking. Your guides are the only ones who are behind your back. No one else is like, excuse me, Sally, where are you doing your dharma today? Like, I'm not in your living room, guys. But you will always know when you sleep at night, did I spend today putting all of my energy and focus towards my highest calling? Or did I just try to take the easy path, which actually is never the easy path? So I share this with you because even when you're doing your dharma, it can still feel like a lot of work. But that doesn't mean that you're not in alignment. That just means you need to give it back to source. Because when you're fueled by the electrical cord of source, source is the energy, the current that is moving through you, it is limitless. There is no end. You write and you work and you do whatever it is the whole day. And guess what? At night, you're still filled with more ideas. You know, some people say, well, how do you write all day? And then at night, it's like 9 p.m. right now. How do you then start recording podcasts? Because writing gives you more ideas, just like working out gives you more energy. Doing your dharma will give you more dharma. So it's just flipping the switch and doing it. Not spectating. I have a whole chapter in my book. Dharma is not a spectator sport. It is getting in the fucking game and doing it. And when you start doing it, you see, okay, this is where I want to put my energy. This isn't, it's not a straight line. It's a curve. And again, some stages are, this is what I don't want. This is what I don't want. This is what I don't want. But if you keep maneuvering towards what I do want, you're still doing your dharma. So I hope you enjoyed this transmission. There is so much more of this in Rose Gold Goddesses. So head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com. We are launching with an absolutely free 5-day Rose Gold Goddess Challenge where we are embodying our 5 inner goddess archetypes, which are, you know, there's so many more than 5, but the 5 we'll be working with during this challenge are our highest self, Parvati, who the intro and outro music of this podcast are dedicated to Parvati. We'll be working with our abundant Lakshmi, our creative Saraswati, our powerful Durga, and our wild Kalima. There are many other goddesses we will be working with in Rose Gold Goddesses each and every month. So be sure to stay tuned for that launch. If you're listening to this later, we're hopefully going to relaunch again in 2020. But if you're listening to this earlier, take this opportunity to say yes to your soul. I can promise you this is going to be bigger and more soulful and more supported and expansive than any other community you've ever been in before. And I can heartfully say that. And I am honored to be the conduit who is birthing this to life, because it is not from me, it is through me. It is work of the divine. And I am honored to be of service for this message. I'll see you there, rosegoldgoddesses.com. And I look forward to hearing from you on my Instagram. Let me know if you liked this episode, what more you want, and I'll talk to you next week. Namaste.